We'll do something a little different starting this evening. We're going to take a look at the book of Colossians on Sunday afternoon. There are four chapters in this short epistle, so that'll give us four studies. And we'd like to invite you to take a look at it and ponder it, not only in our time together, but perhaps in your personal study as well. It's fascinating that in one way that song that we have sung is a fair question. In looking at a study in Colossians, the title of that song that we just sung is Have You Seen the Lord? I think one of the things that's fascinating, sometimes we talk about how that the epistle that Paul wrote to Ephesus and the one that he wrote to Colossians kind of has a lot of similarities to it, and that is true. It does appear to have common themes and direction. The one thing that I find kind of different than Colossians than the epistle to the brethren at Ephesus, is that when you look at the writing that he gave to the church of Christ there in Ephesus, there is so much about the church that we learn, about how to apply the focus of the church and how that we come together. But this letter to Colossae is much more directed about Jesus and his role in our life, particularly as we look at the first chapter. The whole essence of what he is talking about is the importance of Jesus having preeminence in our life. That's in verse 18, where Paul writes that Jesus is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Now that's talking about Jesus personally. And we may say, you know, that we recognize that our relationship with Jesus, it is like most folks. We wouldn't deny Christ. We understand the importance of Christ in our life. But the real challenge for us is what position does he have in our life? What does it mean for Christ to have the preeminence? Doesn't that suggest that he has the priority in our life? Doesn't that suggest of all of the things that I would consider important in my life, whatever it is that has the preeminence is up there at the top. So you see, we wouldn't deny Christ. We just don't put him on the throne. And so when the world is looking for Jesus, the question is have you seen Jesus, my Lord? And there are a variety of ways this song describes that if we'll open our eyes, it's a great objective there, just open up our eyes. Where do I see Christ in my life today? Now, as Paul starts this writing, he is talking about his desire for this congregation, and he commends them for their faith. And we definitely want to focus on our faith as believers of Christ. But he says in verse 9 that we do not cease to pray for you. And we ask that, well, he talks about what's in the prayer. And this should remind us, this is what Paul recognizes that should be in the life of a disciple of Christ, a believer in Christ. And so, wouldn't it be fair to say that I can look at these characteristics in my life and see if it's important to me in my growth as a child of God, as a Christian, to help others see the Lord in my life. He says, we ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Is that a high priority for me to build an awareness of what God's will is? And then he says that you may walk worthy of the Lord. Well, what does that mean? He says, fully pleasing him. That my life is characteristic to where my priority in my day is to please God. Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in my knowledge of God and strengthened with all might according to his power with patience and long suffering and joy. And giving thanks to the Father. Thanks for what? Well, thanks here that Jesus is my Savior. That Jesus has delivered us from the power of darkness and has put us into his kingdom. That we have been redeemed through his blood and we receive forgiveness of sins. Well, that's kind of the priority of where we ought to be as believers. But how do you see Jesus? How do you see Jesus in his role of preeminence? Paul here will give us four pictures of Jesus and places or relationships where he is to help us to appreciate why he ought to have prominence in our life. The first is his place with the Father, God the Father. Look at verse 15. In verse 15 about Jesus, he says he is the image of the invisible God. How do you see God today in your life? Well, you know that God is a spirit. Jesus told us that. Bible tells us that. So, no one has seen the Father. Here, he says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. That when you see Jesus, you see God. You'll remember in Genesis chapter 3, that there in the creation, the Godhead, in looking at the creation, they announced, let us make man in our own what? Our own image. So we have a sense of the image of the invisible God. And by that, we have a soul. We have a spirit. The mark of us in that likeness is God made us eternal, just like He is eternal. What does it mean to you to be in the image of God? Are you taking care of your soul just like you would take care of your body? Are you taking care of this likeness that we have to where you're prepared for what eternity has in store for you? Here, in Him being the image of the Father, Jesus is not just a copy. It's not just a picture. Jesus reflects and reveals God. When He came as man, they could look at Him and they could see God. And they may ask, what would God do in this certain situation? Well, they could see Jesus. And if the glory of God was to be demonstrated, it was the glory that Christ would demonstrate. Drop down to verse 19. Here's the second thing. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell. You know what that's saying? Is understanding God the Father, God the Spirit, God the Son, that Jesus was God as He came out of the earth. Philippians 2, He didn't consider it robbery to be equal with God, and He came. And by Him coming, He demonstrated who God is. Hebrews 1:3, talking about Jesus, He said, being in the brightness of His glory and the expressed image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He Himself had purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. In His body, in the likeness of man, He demonstrated God's nature, God's characteristic, God's word, God's nature. He demonstrated the being of God and all authority of God. And His message all along was, if you see me, you see the Father. And in that demonstration, it was such to where His place with the Father was of great significance. Now, if you go back to verse 15, He also talks about His place in creation. The first verse of the song that we sung, isn't that what it suggests? You want to see Jesus, my Lord? Take a look. At this nature that God has placed us in. Take a look at His creation. Here's what He says. He says He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist? Now, I would tell you, there are religious bodies that take this phrase here that you see in verse 15, that He is the firstborn from all creation. And they pervert that verse in a way in which they will interpret that as being such that when it came to creation, God made Him first. And that Jesus was a created being just like angels and just like our earth. That's not what that is saying. What that's saying is His position in creation is like the firstborn. Now, think about the Old Testament appearances of what we had related to the firstborn. You remember it's the one that is the oldest, the one among the family that has prominence, and in that He becomes an heir to where the things of the household are turned over to Him. Here, by talking about the firstborn of creation, it's literally saying that the creation belongs to Jesus. That He is the firstborn of creation. He is Lord over the creation. Why? Well, look at verse 16. By Him all things were created. That's why. That God, through Jesus, created the worlds, created what we understand is the heavenly bodies and the earthly bodies and the very nature of the animal kingdoms and all the things that loaded up on Noah's Ark that we consider part of the creation. And here, not only is He Lord over all the creation because He made it, but it also says in verse 17 that He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Now that word consist is suggesting that, well, He holds it all together. That it's kind of like a cohesiveness. That the reason that we don't have chaos and look up and see the full moon and just wonder if it's going to come barreling down on earth. And sometimes it looks so close, it looks like it's right on our back porch. But He holds it all together. Then that's Jesus, your Lord. His place is above all creation. When John began his gospel, addressing Jesus in the first chapter, verse 3, he said, all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, it's not a secret that each one of us should be challenged to live our life to where other people see the Lord. To where other people see Jesus living in us. But one thing about His Lordship over creation, that all people really don't need to see us to see the Lord. They look at creation. And they not only recognize there's a God, but they recognize that Jesus is God. Because He was there from the beginning. And He was there before whatever and however we want to define beginning. By Him all things exist. Then there's another that kind of hits a little bit more home. And that is to understand the relationship of Jesus is consider His place in the church. And I say that hits home because we look at our position in the church, and we should be thankful that God sent Jesus to help us to become partakers and heirs of the blessings of God. We ought to be thankful that we recognize that we have been transformed or transferred or moved from a life in darkness to a life in the light of the kingdom of Christ, that we've been saved from our sins. That's what we ought to be thankful for. Are you? So much so that you recognize you don't want to go back to sin. You want to increase your knowledge and awareness. Now, Jesus is described in verse 18 again, and here's His place in the church. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Now, you notice He used that phrase, firstborn again. not firstborn of creation as he did a while ago, but here he says firstborn from the dead. And again, that kind of suggests, and sometimes we just kind of read it seeing that word first, that he's the first one to come back from the dead. Well, that's not true. He's not the first one in the Bible to come back from the dead. But now, when we're talking about the firstborn, he's the one that has preeminence when you're talking about coming back from the dead. That he stayed in the grave 3 days, and by him coming back from the dead, he's the first one that in his likeness, the same power that lifted him from the grave is promised to us. That the resurrection he experienced, he's the firstborn, and we in that same sense of the crucifixion by putting our old man to death and rising in newness of life, have the hope of the same resurrection that he did. But where is he in relationship to the church? He's the head of the church. That means he's the leader of the church. Does that mean he's the boss of the church? We don't use that word a lot, but yeah. He made the rules. He has all authority. That when it comes to the church, you make a terrible mistake if you think I make the rules, because I don't. Jesus is head of the church. Now, by him being head of the church, that's not how Paul put it, is it? He said he's head of the body. Now, just by using that word picture of the body, that suggests some things for us as why is it important to put him in his place as head of the church. Because it's his intent to reveal that the church is a living unit. It is alive. It's not something that should be living in the past. It's something that should be concerned about its health and its future. That the church itself follows the lead of our Lord. And as members, we are joined together. Christ takes the church, and it is the means in which His purpose is carried out. His work is fulfilled. And through that, He's describing a union of Christ and His people that is real, and it's got to be vital. It's got to be of significance. And that's where we are. John, receiving the revelation from Christ in chapter 1, talking about Jesus, he says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, that phrase again, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and he's made us kings and priests in God. He's brought us together in a position of royalty as in the body. And in that body, members are joined together to where we are concerned about each other as we submit to our Lord's headship. And in that, we are connected, just like he describes in 1 Corinthians 12, of feeling for each other. When you hurt, I hurt. When you rejoice, I rejoice. It is a living body that must be actively connected together, recognizing that we need to be pleasing Jesus. And our walk ought to reflect that. Our lives ought to reflect that. For it's not just something that we go through like any other organization that we may cut a check to and they send us a membership card. It's nothing like that. Although we may allow ourselves to become dull and not recognize the vitality and importance of expanding the kingdom for our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're going to recognize Jesus as Lord, then we have to continue to focus on His place when it comes to sin. And more importantly, when it comes to sinners. Because recognizing it is that role that tends to get our focus as it should be. Here in Colossians chapter 1, if you look at verse 19, where it talks about Jesus being the fullness of the Godhead, he talks about God's plan in verse 20, where he says, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Now, what He's talking about here is that we have been reconciled. Those that are in sin, those that are sinners, have been reconciled through Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be reconciled? Well, here, he describes, it's a sense of bringing two together, and understand the two come together and enjoy peace where there wasn't peace. They come together where they weren't together. And here he says what brought about the reconciliation was the cross. And the conflict, you understand, is a sinful people, which we're right in the middle of that, versus a holy God. And what Jesus did is He reconciled and brought us together. How did He do that? And why did He do that? Look at verse 21. Because we were alienated. We were enemies. We had wicked works. And what He's done is He had reconciled. He'd take us in all of our dirt, in our spotted garments, and He's reconciled us with God in the body of His flesh through death. And now we can be presented to God as holy and blameless and above reproach in God's sight. Continue in His faith. That's the urging. Continue in the faith, be grounded and steadfast, and don't be moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. 2 Corinthians 5:18. Paul says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. You know what that means? If you want to see Jesus my Lord, I've got a message for you. I've got a message on how you can come together with God. And how you come together with God is based on my Lord. The fact that He died on the cross, and He has opened the door now to where God doesn't have to see you in your sins. God can see the blood. And by seeing the blood, you can be right with God. And you see, if I place Jesus in prominence of my life, then I've got a message on how peace, I mean, real peace can come. It's by the cross of Jesus Christ. You know how hard it is for people to find peace in their life right now? One of the things that makes it so hard is because when it comes to peace, there's all kind of different messages to where literally there's a perversion of peace. And people will tell you that if you want order in your life, then you need to chase after this, and you need to chase after that, or you need to put off this. And all these messages about peace, if they leave Jesus Christ out, you're never going to find peace. Because you'll be at war with God, and you'll be alienated with God. And if you find yourself trying to find peace and you hold friendship of the world as a high priority and a preeminence in your life, then you're just as good as an adulterer against God. Because you're working against His plan, His purpose for His creation. And not only is peace perverted today, but you'll also find that people don't understand the source of peace. Because that source of peace is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus our Lord. And if you do not include the awareness of Jesus as Lord and understand the purpose that He came and the revelation that He gave of who God is and what God has purposed for us, then you're not going to understand the true source of peace in your life. But I think for all of us, even those of us that have been part of the kingdom, even those of us that recognize that we have all kinds of thanksgiving to direct toward God because we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a provision of peace. There's a process of peace. there is this continuation of peace in our life that I feel like we miss. When Jesus does not have preeminence in our life. And that means we grow to be like Him. That means the more that we understand and gain a knowledge about Christ, the more that we ought to become like Him. The more He ought to be part of our life and change what principles we have, what priorities we have. Because if you're growing in Christ, then worship means everything to you. Because there's a reason why you praise God, and there's a reason why you're thankful to God, because Jesus changed your life. And it's not just worship, but it's also a passion to learn more about Him. Because when you learn more about Jesus, you learn more about God. And when you look at His work, and when you look at how He related to others, and when you look at the things that were of great importance to Him, you learn about God the Father, you learn about God the Spirit, because He was the fullness of God as He's revealed in the Gospels. And I tell you, you'll obey Him. You know why? Because you know He's the leader of the church. He has all authority. And as a disciple of Christ, you recognize that there may be many examples of individuals that are looking to demonstrate devotion to Jesus Christ, but it's nothing like obeying His will. As a matter of fact, obeying His will is the highest priority. Even Jesus will say, if you want to show that you love Me, you can't leave obedience out. If you're saying that I am Lord of your life, you can't take charge and put Me on hold Monday through Saturday. And then just act like I can be Lord of your Sundays. You're going to obey Him every day of the week. In the places that are very public and the places that are very private. Obedience will be everything. Do you love Him? If you're seeking Jesus as Lord over your life and the peace that He provides, then as you love Him, it won't do anything but grow. It won't be stale. It won't be such to where from Sunday to Sunday, as you have communion with Him, that you feel like you're going through the motions and you kind of forget why we're here and what He did. No, you'll know everything. You know what He did for you. There's not a day gone by that you don't thank God for what He did for you. Because you know, when it comes to our tomorrows, there's not a one of us that has that promise that it's ours within our grasp. And so today is the day of thanksgiving. Today is the day that we recognize our blessings in Jesus Christ. Today ought to be the day that peace is our highest priority. And it only comes through Him, because God loved us that way. Have you seen Jesus, my Lord? Can you recognize that He's on display in your life because He has the preeminence of your life? Then I would tell you, today would be a great day to open your eyes. And not only see the importance of Jesus dwelling within you, but the importance for others that God has brought into your life, that so much they need to see in the Savior. So much they're looking for a place to escape the darkness of this world. So much they're looking for peace, true peace. You have the opportunity to put it in display. Be the image of Christ. Be the fullness of Christ. Because He has preeminence over all of your life. If you need to come to Jesus, won't you do it this afternoon? Won't you do it now while together we stand and sing in front of you?